Okay, I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. I'm very thankful for the Lord's direction, mercy, and blessing my life and yours. I'm thankful He's allowed us time together, His children, in worship, to read His Word. I'm thankful for letting us understand His Word. Thankful for the opportunity of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm thankful for all of the gifts the Lord's manifested through in His children and in His purposes and in knowing and in believing and integrating His gospel in our lives, that through that obedience and faith we see those gifts in many ways, and they're varied in many. And this is just a testimony, not necessarily the direction which our sermon is going to go this day. But it's to that testimony. And I'm thankful, very thankful, for His love and His saving power. The things that were impressed upon my heart, and we've had many studies on either the Book of Mormon itself, and we've had many studies on pieces of the Book of Mormon, and we've had studies on the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, so on and so forth. And it was impressed upon me, I should say, this day. Excuse the static. It's kind of an unknown thing right now, and that's not my raspy voice. And kind of sounds like the wind outside, doesn't it? But anyway. But impressed upon me this day, talking about the purpose. The purpose of the Book of Mormon. Okay. I'm not for sure, Tony. Maybe you can analyze that for me. Thank you very much. Thank you. Rick, yeah, you and Rick. Yeah, Rick had mentioned that earlier, too. Well, so, you know, and we have a blessing. We have each piece of the congregation that's helping bring the whole thing forth, isn't it? And it takes us all. And that's only evidence of it. And so, we understand, of course, the blessing of each portion of our congregation, each person. And so, it's the Lord's doing. But the purpose of the Book of Mormon, and because, you know, especially today's day and age, we're going to be answering. And I'm not, and people talk about a defense of the Book of Mormon, but a brother in our church mentioned it's time to stop defending, but to proclaim. Proclaim its benefit, its power, and its authority among the children of men. It's been among us for now over 170 years, and it has had a purpose and a power and a plan in God's creation. A position in this piece of time. The things that we were allowed to talk about in our Sunday school this morning, in our lesson about the course of world events today, because of many things that we have read and realized and studied and have been given to know within the Lord's time frame and so on, but of a knowledge that we received through the Book of Mormon. Isn't that true? And we have seen things. We've all been seeing in the news and recognize and shake our heads that we've seen things. You know of them through the power of that knowledge that you've been given. And the Lord has manifested a knowledge in this the latter day. So it's time to proclaim, time to witness of these things. But there are going to be many questions about maybe that there's points that people may say things about, or so on and so forth, that we may be able to answer or to make a statement of its importance and power, especially to God. That it takes ultimately, in all things, faith. Faith in the Creator, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in our Father, which is in heaven. And as much as we'll be obedient unto His Word, and obedient in that purpose that God will give us, gives knowledge. If the Lord said when He sent out His disciples that I will tell you what you need and what hour, what to say. Don't go out with script nor purse, but I'll give you what to say. That the Lord shall do that, and I depend upon it. I depend upon it, I know myself. But the purpose of the Book of Mormon, God speaks to man to reveal His will and purposes for His creation. Has it? Yes, it certainly has. God is going to continue to reveal His will and purposes for His creation. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. His will and His purposes for His creation. That's us. And especially created in Christ Jesus. There's a will and purpose in His children that are created in Christ Jesus that have accepted that beautiful salvation prepared for you. And He's going to continue to reveal His will and purposes as we read. In and through, we see the words of the Book of Mormon tell us where He's going to reveal His arm, bear His arm in the eyes of all the nations. His truth and salvation is to be declared to every nation, tongue, and kindred. Bible and Book of Mormon say the same thing. It's going to be witnessed in all the nations. Then the end shall come. Doesn't say all that are going to believe. Jesus plainly told us, few to be that find this straight and narrow path, but He's holding out that arm of invitation to all, and He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. As it talks about in the book of I believe, 2 Peter. I would like to turn with, if you'd like to turn with me, into the book of 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter, page 149. And I'm going to make a slight excuse for myself, a little leeway here this morning, that if something doesn't go quite awkward and well to plan, that we're blaming me, and that you know, that rushing to put things even together at the last minute this morning, that my carpal tunnel's acting up a little bit, you know, and I'll think of at least five other excuses as we go. Don't worry. Let's start at verse 125. And this is quoting also from the book of Isaiah, in which we were also, it was also being started to quote in the Book of Mormon this morning in our Sunday school as they were talking the value of the book of Isaiah. Now, remember that one too. And matter of fact, let's stop for just a moment here. As we were reading this morning, and that was chapter 5, Ted? Is it chapter 5? Okay. I believe that's where it was. So where it was talking about where they're starting to teach, especially from the book of Isaiah, and it talks of its intrinsic value to these children coming out from Jerusalem, and also that we're starting the ministry there, that were called to be priests, and they needed to know the prophecies of Isaiah because they were of the house of Israel, and they needed to know about the prophecies of the Lord under the children of Israel, and they were a portion of the house of Joseph. And this is also very significant of the promises unto Joseph that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, too. But a branch of the house of Israel, through also of Joseph. The Book of Mormon brings that out. But they need to know of Isaiah. Because Isaiah is very key in prophecy, talking about the judgments under the house of Israel, but the education and restoration of the house of Israel. And he says in verse 25, and it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall bring unto you the words of a book, and they shall be the words of them which have slumbered. Behold, the book shall be sealed, and in the book shall be a revelation from God from the beginning of the world to the ending thereof. And that is the truth. It discusses from the very beginning of creation to the explanation, very plain and simple terms of creation, but of the why we were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and that scenario plus the fall from God and from His presence and that there needed to be a Savior, the reason for that, and the plan of redemption being laid from the very beginning, and the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So from the beginning and then till the ending thereof. And it says this, until the world shall burn up and the elements melt with a fervent heat, be rolled together as a scroll till the ending thereof. And the book shall be sealed, and the book, like I said, shall be a revelation from God from the beginning to the world to the ending thereof. And wherefore, because of the things which are sealed up, the things which are sealed shall not be delivered in the day of their wickedness and abominations of the people. The book shall be kept from them, but the book shall be delivered to a man shall deliver the words of the book, which are the words of those who have slumbered in the dust. And he shall deliver these words unto another. The words shall be are sealed, he shall not deliver it, neither shall he deliver the book. The book shall be read, shall be sealed by the power of God, and the revelation which is sealed shall be kept in the book until the own due time of the Lord, that they come forth. For behold, they reveal all things from the foundation of the world unto the end thereof. And the day cometh that the words of the book were sealed shall be read upon the housetops, and they shall be read by the power of Christ. They shall be read by the power of Christ. We see the power of prophecy is the witness of Jesus Christ. It talks about in the book of Revelation. They shall be read by the power of Christ. And I'm talking about being a seer. And the Book of Mormon talks about a seer being a prophet also, because he's revealing the will and purposes and the word of the Lord. So he's being a seer and a prophet as well. And there's many other important things talking about that. But this even reveals in the portion of Isaiah the Book of Mormon coming forth. But its purpose is to reveal from the beginning until the ending thereof. And there are many things explained to us very plainly. And Nephi said, and this is one of the prophets in the Book of Mormon, that he delighteth in plainness. And Jesus has told us there's many plain things that the people just trip over. The Jews rejected the plain things, and the Lord gave them over to hard things. We got to be careful that we are not continually looking for hard things. We must savor the plain things. It's the plain things, and it's the same sins that have been from the beginning of mankind, coming around maybe packaged a little differently than the old devil seems to use in order to trap the souls of the children of men. Please turn with me over to page 157. Page 157, to start at verse 55. This is 2 Nephi chapter 12. And we have a revelation that is being discussed just or proclaimed here. And the Lord is basically revealing his statement. Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember those that are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath? Now remember that the prophet Lehi even stated, he says, don't you know that we are also an isle of the sea? Aren't we broken off from our brethren from whence we came? Don't you know that we are an isle of the sea? Oh, this whole continent broke off from the others. Don't you know it's a large one? We're an isle of the sea. Don't you know that? But he says, and I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, and that I remember one nation like unto another? And when two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And so they must tell, of course, the same story. They must tell the same facts. And I always, when I proclaim the Book of Mormon and its purpose, I can even go back to the Book of Genesis, where in the time of the Tower of Babel, when they confounded the language or confused them, and the Lord said, he scattered them thence abroad upon the whole face of the earth. And the question that I always ask, does the Lord do something for nothing? No, absolutely not. We see evidences of that ancient knowledge from thousands of years ago in many writings in archaeology. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because I have spoken one word, you cannot suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, and neither from that time henceforth and forever. And we depend upon revelation and prophecy and especially for protection and for warning, as I've been saying for a long time, being on the threshold of tribulation, that his people are going to be warned. And this is why I do not fear, as some may fear. They talk about this prophecy of 2012, this Mayan prophecy thing, or others in the world that have so-called prophesied that. And I don't fear that, no matter what. No matter what our cipherings may be about it, because God protects his children, and we know the truth. We know the ultimate form of truth in Jesus Christ and of his fullness. And I have every belief that the Lord will warn his children. And it says in the scripture, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he'll reveal his secret unto his servants the prophets. And I believe that he will not let his children go out to waste. And so that is the peace that he gives us. And we need to depend upon that. I believe in warning. And so his work is not yet finished. Wherefore, because ye have a Bible, ye cannot suppose that it contains all my words. Neither need ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written. And if you take a look, and even in your Bible, you can see many other references to many other works. I don't have the list all with me, but there are several other books that it does reference to in the Bible that are not contained in the Bible. And there are, I'm sure, more records throughout the earth. And we shall, I believe, that when they come, they shall bring their records with them during that time of restoring. I command all men, both in the east and the west, the north and the south, and the isles of the sea, they shall write the words which I shall speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, or according to that which is written. Behold, I shall speak to the Jews, they shall write it. I shall also speak to the Nephites, they shall write it. I shall also speak to the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. I shall also speak unto all the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews. And the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel. And the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home to the lands of their possessions. And my word shall also be gathered in one. And I will show unto them that fight against my word and against my people, who are of the house of Israel, that I am God, and I cut a covenant with Abraham, and I will remember his seed forever. And so we have a testimony of two nations, and I'm looking forward to a testimony of more nations, more peoples, kindreds, and tongues the Lord has spoken to. And the Lord, and we need to depend upon him still speaking by revelation, by dreams and visions. There's nowhere in there that the Lord says, I'm done. Never says that I have stopped being God and that I'm done speaking. Never once. And so we got to be careful. We can't be limiting the Lord. And his precious mysteries are many times beyond our knowing because of his infinite intelligence and omnipotence. And I have to tell you, as a testimony, the older I get and the more things that I've come to know and believe, the more that I come to know of what I don't know. And then I need to be searching because of my limited intelligence. What is important, we know, is his gospel, most importantly, his gospel. The purpose, remember, the purpose in the Book of Mormon. The purpose in the Book of Mormon. And if you happen to, the Lord is revealing to you a point that you want to remember when in witnessing of the Book of Mormon, please jot that down. What about his gospel? Most importantly, the pureness, the simplicity of his gospel. Page 37 in your Book of Mormon. Page 37, verse Nephi chapter 3. I just start at verse 184. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, course, we know. I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister to them, what shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. I need to clarify myself, because you know, when I was little, very little, very young, I had, when somebody mentioned certain words, and sometimes I wouldn't have a clue. And I had a funny notion about when people called the children of Israel, the children of Israel, until I come to know who they were really talking about when I was real young. And so the Lamb of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And in them shall be written, my gospel saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. And that is a tall order when we talk about Zion. The government of the Lord upon his people. It's probably the most concise thing I can try. For they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. You can have a portion of that promise. You can have a portion in that, that is a promise to you as well, as you witness. How beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. How beautiful unto Jesus Christ and the Father is it when you help to acquaint someone maybe with something that is destructive to their very soul, or to help salvation of their soul, or the publishing of a peace instead of torment in their life. There's no greater prison and torment than remembering one's past of sins that are not forgiven. That is not peace. Fear has torment. And love brings forth peace. Love in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. Ultimate forgiveness brings forth peace in Jesus Christ. Helping people from torment. Now the chains of sin. But most importantly, his gospel. And what the Book of Mormon, its purpose is about. Please turn with me over to page 646. And that is 3 Nephi chapter 7. And I'd like to read verse 31. Of course, a prophecy, the words of the Master, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, says, behold, because of their belief in me, saith the Father, and because of the unbelief of you, O house of Israel, in the latter day shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things, what things? The things that are contained within the Book of Mormon, by the power of God, shall be made known unto them. Yes, they've been made known unto us. He talks about a latter day. A day when he's bringing forth his will and purposes, the foundation of his work, once again, his power and his authority, his gifts and callings, the foundation of his church, in the latter day, and a fullness of it, the simplistic fullness of it, the power of faith, repentance, and baptism, laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, of resurrection and eternal judgment. The Book of Mormon talks about and explains those things as well. And we've known it for over 170 years. Please turn to it with me over to page 662. Page 662, 3 Nephi chapter 9. 662. I'd start at verse 86. And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place. I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. This recipe of Zion takes different forms, but ultimately it's His government and His power and His authority upon His children, His plan, His purposes, to a fruition of gathering and kindness, even to place a place. And behold, this is the thing which I give unto you for a sign, for verily I say unto you that when these things which I declare unto you and shall I shall declare unto you hereafter myself and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles, that they may know concerning this people who are a remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this my people who shall be scattered by them. Verily I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for his wisdom in the Father that they should be set up, established in this land, and be set up as a free people by the power of the Father, that these things might come forth from them unto a remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these works and the works which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, or descendants, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity, for thus it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that he may show forth his power unto the Gentiles for this cause, that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me, be baptized in my name, and know the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. It's important, very foundationally, eternally important about the Lord's truth. He has spoken a truth. And yet the truth is important. And if we think that it is not, then all things can be possible and acceptable. Man, all paths lead into a promised eternity. We've got to be careful in how we give things away and sleight of hand. We wink at things that are not of His truth. We've got to be careful and safe for it. The Lord has guarded safely His truth and enough to where He has manifested it in this latter day. That they come together one in our hand, this Bible and Book of Mormon. And be numbered among, yes, we're heirs of adoption. Heirs of adoption. And covenanted people of the Lord. You, each one of you, are a covenanted person of the Lord. That is a power and a knowledge and a protection. The Lord fights and protects His people. He fights for His children, and He will protect you. And He works in our lives. We all have testimony of this, don't we? Over on page 660, I would like to read verses 69 and 70. This is 3 Nephi chapter 9, 69 and 70. That's why I've got page number for some, but also reference for others. Some have a Book of Mormon that is just versed because of spacing, probably because of large print and so on, and it has it on a different page. And it shall come to pass that the time cometh, when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, they shall believe in me, that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and pray unto the Father in my name. Then shall their watchmen lift up their voices, and with voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. But finally, said that they must believe in the fullness of his gospel first, and the purpose in the Book of Mormon, a witness unto them. His gospel is preached unto them, and they believe in me, that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and pray unto the Father in my name. Very foundationally important. Then shall their watchmen lift up their voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. And then it talks in verse 71, I should read, then will the Father gather them together again and give unto them Jerusalem for the land of their inheritance. And there's a great work going on. And they've been, you know, a position of capital there in Jerusalem now, even though it needs to be a cleansing there. the Lord is going to reveal more of His bearing, making bare His arm and His purposes as well. Now, also, 3 Nephi chapter 13, 3 Nephi chapter 13, verse 54. Let's go over to page 679. Page 679. 3 Nephi 13, verse 54. And now behold, I say unto you that when the Lord shall see fit in His wisdom, that these sayings shall come unto the Gentiles, according to His word, then you may know that the covenant which the Father hath made with the children of Israel, according to their restoration of the lands of their inheritance, is already beginning to be fulfilled. There's a lot of small, and I shouldn't say small, but foundational, important, and intricate things that one upon one and one upon another to take place in order for things to take to happen. All within the Lord's and purposes and planning and His infinite wisdom, but yet, there are many things that we may call small or little, but seek even sequences of events to know when these be fulfilling. And that you may know that the words of the Lord, which have been spoken by the holy prophets, shall all be fulfilled. And you need not say that the Lord delays His coming unto the children of Israel. And so we find once again another important reason. And we need to remember that point. We have another witness that is telling us, you need not say that the Lord delays His coming unto the children of Israel. What does it say in the book of 2 Peter? He says, where is the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation. You need not say that the Lord delays His coming unto the children of Israel. We have another witness. And so, a witness of His promises, His covenants, and His blessings. And you are part of what that covenant. And covenants, we could talk of many covenants that we are partaking in and have partaken in and are going to restore. To restore. Please turn with me over to 3 Nephi chapter 10, page 664. Page 664, chapter 10, and I like to read verses 1 and 2. And there's a whole lot to be said. And that if they will repent and come unto my word, speaking of the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles being not directly blood descendant of the house of Israel or within that lineage, so to speak. And but they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts. I will establish my church among them. And they shall come in under the covenant and be numbered among this the remnant of Jacob, in whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, the children of Israel. And also as many of the house of Israel shall come, remnant, remember that word remnant of Jacob or remnant of Israel. And who are these people here upon this land in the Book of Mormon? Of what seed? Anybody remember that one? Who were the descendant here from the house of Israel? Joseph. Thank you. And shall be called, and as also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. Okay? It's talking of a specific city, and we're going to see some little prophecy also in the book of Ether, or some may call it Ether, whichever, doesn't matter. But you remember, also, let me make mention of this. The Book of Mormon all mentions that this whole land is referred to as the New Jerusalem as well. They also mentioned that even in our history, when they first come to this continent in the time of Columbus in that area, they called it a New Jerusalem. The pilgrims called it a New Jerusalem. But this specifically is talking about a city called the New Jerusalem. And so we look forward to it. And we're going to be helping. And especially, it's got to be the foundational work or the bulwark of Zion, that teaching of the fullness of the gospel. And as we learn, even in a portion this morning, the setting up this whole time of worship, even to the benefit of the technology we've been using today, and those that have that knowledge in our congregation of different portions of being able to do what we do in order to even to put this out so others can see that are not that only within the sound of our voice is part and portion in that work. The speaking of the gospel and the Lord delivering it in power and authority. But His church especially, a restoring of His pattern. They're called servants, gifts, miracles, healings, all of those things. Belief in them. Many believe that many of these things are done away. The Lord has done His work. They are done away. He says, my work is not done among man, but only according to their unbelief. And many don't even believe in a holy calling of the Lord to ministry. Book of Hebrews says, don't let any man take dishonor unto himself. We have to stand before God if we take that lightly and it is given away. Which we won't probably turn here this morning, but we look in Daniel in the second chapter of that great statue that stood, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, down to a latter-day fulfillment or standing of that statue of those ten-toed kingdoms of a kingdom that would never be destroyed nor left to others. That's one thing to know, that left to others when, as our brother mentioned this morning, that even when Jerusalem was besieged after the time of Christ, after He had set up His kingdom in 70 AD when they had destroyed Jerusalem, and that Rome began to become in the religion business. And we see another power, another prophecy of Daniel of a beast, a fearful beast coming out of the sea. But when the ten-toed kingdoms, when those kings would stand in one place, time, and history, that was to take place, or a time was to take place in 1830. And some have pinpointed it down further to April the 6th. And it's a wondrous thing. And so we find a purpose in the Book of Mormon is fulfillment, even of prophecies in the Bible. It's what we were reading from Isaiah 29, weren't we? And there are many other references we can look to. Especially this one. Turn with me over to page 645. Page 645, the words of Jesus once again. And we'll find this reference in John, the 10th chapter and the 16th verse in the Bible. Verses 23 through 29. This is 3rd Nephi chapter 7. Verse 23. But behold, ye have both heard my voice and seen me, and ye are my sheep, and ye are numbered among those whom the Father hath given me. And verily I say unto you that I have other sheep, which are not of this land, neither of the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of the land round about, whither I have been to minister. For they of whom I speak are they who have not as yet have heard my voice, neither have I at any time manifested myself unto them. But I have received a commandment of the Father that I shall go unto them, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be numbered among my sheep. And there may be one fold and one shepherd, and therefore I go and show myself unto them. And I command you that ye shall write these sayings after I am gone. And if it so be that my people at Jerusalem, they who have seen me and been with me in my ministry, do not ask the Father in my name that they may receive a knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost and also of other tribes whom they know not of. He says, I have kept that knowledge from them. He said, now if they pray and they ask, he says, I can reveal it to them. I will, he said. So that these sayings which ye shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles. That through the fullness of the Gentiles, the remnant of their seed, who shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth, because of their unbelief, may be brought in or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer. Once again, we find that very powerful witness of Jesus Christ must be manifested among His children throughout the earth. He says, and then will I gather them in from the four corners of the earth, and then will I fulfill the covenant. And you know that they have found geologically, and I've heard more lately, that there is actually four corners of the earth. The Bible puts it that way. The Book of Mormon puts it this way, the four corners of the earth. I will gather them from the four corners of the earth. And then when I fulfill the covenant which the Father hath made unto all the people of house of Israel. So, you know, there are many, many things we even find out through the Scriptures if we look to them in faith, look with them diligently, and also study to show ourselves approved, as Paul talked to Timothy about. For my sheep of the earth, the isles of the sea. And no, we see that today. His servants are returning to this particular day, some may correct me, from which day, but from the Philippines and from Africa. Shortly, if not already. From the Yucatan, you know, from different portions of the world, you know, maybe of India, maybe of Nigeria. And I fully believe that there are going to be more doors opened up shortly. It's always been my belief, and it is going to happen. How did we know? Ever since my baptism, and I also asked the question: why weren't there more others of the world in the Church of Christ? And after that time, Slim, the Lord's time, he says, days of 1,000 years with the Lord, but in my time, I may have gray hairs, but just a infant, if you will, in many ways, but in the eyes of the Lord, things could transpire. Now, most important, here we find the identification of those that are out there. The American Indian. 1 Nephi chapter 7, page 73. Page 73. 1 Nephi chapter 7. Verses 15 through 24. That's going back to... And it means that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, even upon the face of this land, and by them shall our seed be scattered. And that has taken place. And that did happen in our history. And if you look into it further, you'll know just how powerful a thing that was and how destructive it was. And after our seed is scattered, the Lord will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be great worth unto our seed. Wherefore is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles, and being carried in their arms upon their shoulders. And it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles, and not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all those of the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And I would, brethren, that you should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. And that is going to be made known in power and authority in his beginning. It is beginning and has begun. And the Lord, you know, people will know and see the Lord making bare his arm in the eyes of the nations in faith. You may know it. You may see it today. No matter, you know, the Lord may be doing a powerful work, and if people are not looking in faith, which many, many are walking out in the world in blindness today, in blindness, will not see, will not accept. Just the same as Jesus said about the scribes and Pharisees, that if they would look to believe, the scales could fall from their eyes, and I can heal them. Same thing. There are those that you work with and walk among every day that think that God is just nothing but a piece of nonsense, don't they? But you know powerful things, wonderful things, great things, world-changing, cataclysmic events that are unfolding before our eyes, even upon the news this very morning, I'm sure. You know them. You've seen them. And we need to be looking for them. The Lord said you can tell the sign of the sky for the weather. You better be looking at the time in which you live. I remember time after time when our sister Ellen would say the same thing when she was among us. You need to know the time in which you live. And so I wanted to go on to where he says that, wherefore the Lord will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations and bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he shall bring them again out of captivity. What sort of captivity? All sorts of types of captivity out there. But unto a freedom in the gospel of Christ, especially. And they shall be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance. And they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. The American Indian does not even know who they are. They know that they have a heritage upon this land. Obscurity. Not even knowing where you're at. Being in a dark room and not understanding which door to go out of. They do not even know that they are a covenanted people. They do not know. You tell an American Indian that they are one of the house of Israel, and you're going to have to pick them up off the floor from laughing. I've seen that look. Many of you have too. Maybe you've talked to some. I had a best friend of mine that's not on this earth anymore, and his father was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. We were talking about the Book of Mormon. And I got that look when I was acquainting them with many of the facts in the Book of Mormon. It's been a long time ago. Out of obscurity, and to know that they are a covenanted person of the Lord, they and their people and of their inheritance. Revealing the identity of the Native American as a covenanted people of the Lord. That is true. And the world is basically starting to catch up to the fact that these people may be of European descent. No, the aliens from outer space didn't put them here. Those marks on the top of those mountains that are here and there across this continent, or roads that are on top of mountains, weren't landing strips for the aliens. But if you look in the Book of Mormon, and part of its purpose, explaining how they got, how about the time of Christ, when there were mountains that were made high and valleys made low, and great highways that were broken up, pieces of highway up here that are going to, there are great things even in archaeology. Book of Mormon brings many of those things out. Talk about temples. These people are of a descendant of those out of Egypt. The purpose of revealing even who they were. Back at just at, during the time when Mexico was being opened up and the gospel coming into in the Yucatan area and so on, Clarence and Angela were even traveling in Europe. And then he went to Jerusalem and also went to Egypt. And they talked to an Egyptologist, I think would be the correct term, from the museum in Cairo. And Clarence was showing him some of the pictures that would come from the Yucatan area, from the temples and so on. And he says, I want a copy of those. That's plainly of European descent and from Egyptian architecture and technology. I want some of that. I want to know more. The Book of Mormon tells us about that. The purpose in the Book of Mormon. Revealing identity. They don't know who they are. But they will. But as many as will believe. Because as many of the Gentiles, the people that you and I go among, think that the gospel of Christ is nonsense. And the Lord calls them fools. They believe that there is no God. But revealing also the spoken promises to the descendants of Ether. In the book of Ether, chapter 6. Turn it there for two verses, please. Ether chapter 6. Many of us are aware of these promises. And we know that they are of a descendant of that Joseph. And yes, through his son Manasseh. Ether 6, 6 through 8 says that a new Jerusalem should be built up upon this land. Okay, that we were talking about shortly ago. Unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there has been a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph. That they should perish not. Even as he was merciful unto the father Joseph, that he should perish not. And so we find that also, wherefore the remnant of the seed of house of Joseph, I had one more verse, thank you, shall be built up upon this land, and shall be a land of their inheritance, and they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old, and they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. So this great promise, as they're brought into Egypt, they may be saved from the famine and preserved. Well, it's the same example we find of Joseph going on ahead once again. A portion of that house of Joseph came to this land, a fruitful bough whose branches ran. Over the wall. Genesis, book of Genesis talks about the promises unto the children of Israel. And that you prepare once again. These writings, what's going to come into Ephraim's hand. But regardless of the matter, the Book of Mormon reveals many portions about the seed of those two nations coming together. Of the Jews and of the house of Judah, if we will receive.